flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Get it to Pritchard. I think they would have been
get
okay.
Get it to Pritchard. Let's go. Come on. Get it in. Pritchard makes these ones all the time. Get it in. Come on. I can't believe we lost.
Feels like the pixie dust has worn off that one a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's high noon here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Every Wednesday at noon on a Celtics Wednesday, we talk to Terp, Justin Turpin, WEEI.com. It's Terp time.
Turpin time. There's something there. We get like a sponsorship. Do we have a Turpentine sponsorship?
We have a Turpentine.
Is there any Turpentine?
Nick is looking at us like that's a yes. I think Nick is looking at us like that's a firm yes.
Turpentine. Yeah. If you get like a stain or something, you use some Turpentine on.
Is that what it's for? The wood, I think.
Wood. Yeah, for sure.
I think that's for the wood.
Gotta buff that out.
Yeah. Teenage.
You don't want to drink it.
No.
That's one thing I learned.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turp.
Nope. That's not gonna work.
Turple.
Turple.
Teenage.
Nope. Nope.
Turp,
what do you have? How about them C's, Turp?
I like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, a little different.
I did like the Turtles quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know who loved a pizza party? Freaking Ninja Turtles.
Matt Patricia and the Ninja Turtles. I'm surprised Turp's even aware of the. Yeah, I'm surprised Turp's even aware of the Ninja Turtles. Yeah.
There was like a reboot of
that's what it was.
He doesn't remember the old.
You know, like Turtles. Megan Fox, April O'Neil.
Damn right.
Now we're talking.
Stephen Amell as Casey Jones.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now we're talking. What's wrong with this? Every week, this is the first question, Turp. What's wrong with them? We keep asking every single week. I feel like they stay static. They continue to win a game, lose a game, win two, lose one, 500-ish for the last couple of months. They're losing ground in the Eastern Conference. What's wrong?
Yeah, it's now the eighth week we've had that same conversation.
Seriously.
What's wrong with this team? And the answer remains the same. It's just inconsistency on a nightly basis. Like, Joe Mazzulla just doesn't know what team he's going to get. Is he going to get a team like the one that showed up in Golden State and beat the Warriors by 40, though they were really shorthanded? The Celtics have struggled plenty with shorthanded teams, but they showed up and took care of business. Is he going to get a team that can execute down the stretch? Because this team, at least as of recently, hasn't shown they've been able to do that. I mean, the other night, they blew their seventh or ninth fourth quarter lead of the year. That was matching their total from all of last year. Like, it's just, it's been the same thing.
So with that, like, obviously the players are the most important thing in all sports, but specifically the NBA. But when you get into blowing fourth quarter leads, how much of that specifically do you look at the coaching staff? Like, is that something that Mazzulla needs to do a better job of, even more so than the players?
I think the other night was really kind of interesting because there does seem to be, you can't deny there was some obvious miscommunication. Like, there's a late switch on the Amen Thompson game winner, and then on Luke Kornet play too, when he got beat by Shangoon, there was some miscommunication there as well. So some of that does fall back on the coaching staff, but it's just the same stuff. Like, they just keep having these collapses down the stretch that just don't make any sense. That we, like, I keep thinking back to that Pacers series a year ago when there were a couple missed bounces or a couple of, you know, missed shots away from being down 3-1 in that series, and they just made the right play constantly. And now what we're seeing is just night and day.
Twitch chat, by the way, and you can ask all your questions to Terp there on the text line and on the phone, 617-779-7937. You can jump in on what's wrong with the Celtics. They say when Terp did a show with Shime, they called it Terp and Shime.
Damn, that's good.
That's nice.
That's really nice.
That's a good Turpentine callback.
Should we
right
get Shime in here on Wednesdays at noon just for the name?
Yeah, just for the name. He just sits here and doesn't say anything?
No
Celtics.
That's
thing.
A great name.
Just sits here. Terp and Shime. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, that's good.
We pretty good anything. Show, too.
Was it a strong
yeah,
show?
Yeah.
It sounds like a good listen. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the Celtics, we both blame Tatum quite a bit for the game the other day. You can't coast through a half, parachute in the second half, expect everybody to be locked in. I think that sets a bad tone against a team like Houston. To me, there's a correlation with Dylan Brooks just bombing away wide open threes when your superstar's going through the motions. You had some good numbers on Tatum. What were those again with Tatum when he doesn't shoot X amount of field goals?
Yeah, so when it's under 15 shot attempts, they're 1-3. And that doesn't obviously happen that much, but it's happened quite a few times recently where he has been kind of taking either poor shots or just not shooting the ball at all. And I think the Rockets game is a little bit different just because they're blitzing him on every pick and roll and forced him to beat him as a facilitator. And that's what the Celtics do a lot, and it leads to guys like these open shooters. They're trying to, like, Dylan Brooks shot 10 of 15, and he's just the latest example. Like, Gabe Vincent did it, Derek Jones, Trey Murphy, DeJounte Murray, Russell Westbrook. You could go down the line of all these players.
I like Trey Murphy, by the way, but all the other
Trey
names.
Murphy's,
yeah,
Trey Murphy's a great three-point shooter.
I like Trey Murphy.
He's a great three-point shooter. Nikola Vucevic, Pascal Siakam. Like, you could just keep going down the row of how many players just lit them up. So I think it was a little bit different with the Tatum thing because the Rockets kind of took the Celtics strategy and put it on the Celtics.
How about your usage number that you also had? They're like 7-10 in games where his usage
under
is below 30%.
Yes.
So I know that's not a stat everyone loves, but what does that speak to? The games where Tatum is not as involved, they're not as good. I mean, to me, in the NBA, where your superstar matters, that makes sense.
Yeah, it is tough to look at usage on a night-to-night basis. But when you're talking a 17-game stretch here, a sample size, then I think it's fair enough to adjust it. Because when Joe Mazzulla pushed back on the usage rate stat, he mentioned specifically his potential assist. Because, I mean, the Celtics are really process-based, and I know people love to hear the potential assist numbers, but, I mean, it makes sense in that sense.
Everybody, when they pass to me in basketball, is a potential assist.
Not
a lot of actual assists, but there's so many potential
Had
assists.
Had a chance!
Yeah.
Put it in!
Yeah.
Not a shooter?
No.
Really?
God, no.
Defender?
No, I was nothing.
Tenacious?
No, I was not good at anything. I played the sport, I was not good at anything.
Yeah. Keith was a shooter.
I was a scorer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was there for the vibes. I was a vibes guy.
Vibes guy. Yeah, gotta have the vibes guy on the bench.
Those are important.
Yeah.
Gotta have that.
Yeah.
So if the Houston Rockets had a good game plan, right, and if teams around the league say, hey, they look at these numbers and they say, hey, when Tatum doesn't get a lot of shots, and if we run double teams at him or whatever else it is and make him pass, the other guys might not be able to beat him. All year long, when they've been in these slumps, we always jump to, all right, 7-game series, who can beat them? Ah, nobody can. Then we kind of move on. But if there's enough of a book on the Celtics and ways to beat them, could a really good coach or a smart team say, let's take a look at all the losses the Celtics had. Let's do that. So a team like Cleveland or New York, is it now not the craziest thing to think 4 times in a 7-game stretch, maybe they could, you know, implement a similar strategy and actually beat them in a series?
I mean, I'm not going to sound the panic alarm going into about February, but in their last, 24 games, they're 13-11. They haven't won more than 3 games.
Wee-hoo.
Like, they've shown
I hear a panic alarm out of
there. There has to be some sort of acknowledgement of it. Like, they have won consecutive games 3 times over that stretch. Like,
so
there has to be some sort of acknowledgement.
Yeah. It's a 2-part question. Keith set this up yesterday. It's a good way of doing it.
Thank you.
You can pick any team. You got to name a team. You can pick any team to win the NBA championship this year. Who are you taking, Terp?
Still the Celtics.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you are taking the Celtics or the field, now you don't have to name a team who beats the Celtics, but you can take the entire field. How would you answer that question?
If I'm like a team just
Celtics or the field?
It's the same odds.
Celtics.
I'm not as quick to answer it that way.
I mean, that's how Wiggy would answer it. Yeah. Wiggy was like very adamant that there's nothing to see here. They're fine. They're still going to win 60 games is what he said. And he was like, they're fine. I've finally been pushed to the brink now where I'm like, maybe I will take the field. I'm with Terp. If it's just you got to, they're all equal odds. One team, I'm picking the Celtics.
Yeah,
Celtics should still be the favorite.
Yeah.
But now you're like, all right, you have every other team. So maybe Denver puts it all together and Jokic is having an insane season and he gets it going, or, you know, teams shoot lights out or whatever. Like, now it's been enough of a period where they've been talking about the lulls, and then they're like, oh, you guys aren't very consistent, and then they still go out there and lose the game. Now, because they lost their last game, my guess is they blow doors tonight,
mm-hmm.
and everyone's going to be like, oh, yeah, they thought there was a problem with the Celtics, and then they'll lose to the Pelicans, or they'll lose to whoever they play in a couple of, maybe not Philly, but they'll lose to Cleveland. Like, they'll lose one of these games coming up after the so-called, like, oh, see how dumb you were for doubting them game. That's just the way it's been for 2 months.
Yeah.
Two straight months.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I guess that is a good thing with their ability to bounce back. That means if they win game one, they'll win every series.
No, maybe they will. They'll go seven this year.
All they need to do is win game one. But yeah, they've been terrific in bouncing back. They're 13-1 in games following a loss, and they're winning by 22.9 points per game.
Yeah, the only time they lost back-to-back games, the second game was that Christmas game, which they shouldn't have lost, but they
did. Another game that they got lit up from non-shooters. Like, Joel Embiid lit them up, like, obviously, Caleb Martin as well.
So I'm curious, because we've done this now a few weeks in a row, and it's Justin Turpin from WEI.com. Joins us every Celtics Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. How much has your concern level gone up? You know, your antenna goes up when we keep coming in every week and we go, yeah, they're still playing like crap. Yeah, they're still playing like crap. Yeah, they're good. They're the best team in the league, most talented team in the league, whatever. But they're still playing like crap. How much has it gone up for you? I think Keefe and I are at a different point. But how much has it gone up for you now that they've kind of been spinning their wheels for a couple of months?
I mean, every week I come in here and the same question is, what's concerning, or what's the problem with the Celtics? Like, that obviously there's something. Pressure that comes with that, and there's some worry that comes with that. And we've been kind of monitoring this, but since they started the season 19-4, they're 13-11. There's a greater sample size of them being a 500, around 500 team, as there is them being a dominant 19-4 team. So yes, there is reason for concern for that. But I do think when you've seen what this team's capable of, because they've turned it on before, even in this stretch, we've seen them get back to the old Celtics. Like, they did it in Dallas, and granted, Dallas was shorthanded. They did it against Golden State. They've done it in other kind of scenarios. But every time we get in here, and the closer we get to the postseason, the more urgency there is to get this figured out.
Do you, you use the word urgency. Do you get the sense they have any urgency?
I do. I think there was, at first, there was a sense of confidence that, like, we're just going to find ourselves. We're too talented. Kristaps even said it. Like, we are way too talented to be struggling like this. We're eventually going to figure it out. And I think there is some truth in that. But now I think there is a lot of urgency to get this figured out. Like, they feel the pressure. They felt the pressure last year, and they just met it. They met it the entire time. This year, it just hasn't been the case. And, you know, we look at all the numbers from past championships, and they've all kind of had similar lulls. But there has to be, they understand, like Jason Tatum, I think, was really telling in his media availability last week when he was talking about skipping steps. And after they went to the finals in 2022, they skipped steps and were only focused on getting back to the finals in 23, and they ended up losing in the conference finals. So they've learned the importance of not skipping steps, yet they're still doing it. That's the problem. It's like every game they're trying to get away, see what they can get away with without losing the game, if that makes sense. Like, they're trying to ease up a little bit, specifically on the defensive end. Like, that's been the biggest problem. And ironically, or not ironically at all, like, this is not a coincidence, the fact that they had one of their best defensive seasons last year, and they had their most dominant year and won the championship. Like, they understand the importance of defense, yet they're kind of getting away from that.
Yeah, I agree. Also, you know, normally when you're talking about, like, a title team, you should be talking about that team, and, like, the reason why they're going to win is because of how good they are. But one I guess, sort of feather in the cap of the Celtics is when you look at the other contenders, like, it's really hard to talk yourself into any of those teams, which is maybe why people aren't as panicked, because
the Cavs have gone into the tank a little bit.
They've dipped. Yeah, they've come back down to earth. And if you just look at the top five title odds, right, who have the best odds, the Celtics still have the best. The Thunder are close. The Thunder are trailing them. They have a kind of similar odds. But you can ask yourself, I know they look good head-to-head with the Seas, but are they ready? Like, that was a big thing last year. Last year they had a good regular season, but like, they're very, very young. Like, are they ready? Then it's the Cavs, Knicks, and Nuggets. Those are the next teams. And like, who on earth can give you like a good, the Knicks are going to win the title? Like, I just,
they're going to gasp by the time they get to the postseason.
Yeah, no, the way they play. And then I love Donovan Mitchell. I'll say it every single time we talk about the Cavs, but I don't look at them as like, that's an NBA championship team.
No, me neither. And are the Knicks going to win a title? No, but I think they'd give the Celtics a tough series.
Well, they could. They'd be a tough out.
Denver would be the team out of those ones you just mentioned where I still respect
I love
They've
Jokic.
They've done it. Jokic
so.
Is the best player in the series. I would still respect
But also
that.
The way the seeding is going, and you know, we'll see how far the Cavs end up slipping and if the Celtics can actually go on a run. But to play it all the way out, right now you would have to play the Knicks and the Cavs. So like, you could potentially have a harder road to the finals. So that's like the equivalent of like the Chiefs watching the Ravens and the Bills beat each other. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you might have to have whatever you had the easiest path a year ago. There's a chance you could have a much more difficult path this year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the path was going to be way more difficult than it was last year.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They had an easy path last year. No one will doubt it, but it doesn't mean you can discredit what they accomplished. And I think that was the biggest problem people had with them, you know, people talking about how easy the path was. But looking at it this year, it's already going to be a lot harder. And that's just because the league got better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this kind of talent wasn't around the league last year. And you see teams really turning it up. Like, the Knicks struggled with inconsistency last year. The Cavs were nowhere close to what they're doing this year. Even Milwaukee's starting to figure it out a little bit, though they're wicked inconsistent. So there's talent in the Eastern Conference now. And you look at the West, like, the West is going to be a gauntlet. That's going to be some interesting playoff matches, and that's going to be a tough, tough conference to get out of.
Does the home record say anything to you? They're not a good, or they're not like a dominant home team. Like, just looking at it, Oklahoma City and Cleveland, the two teams that are in first place, are wagons at home. 22-9, Cleveland is at home.
And the Celtics were awesome at home last year.
I'm sorry, 22-3. They're 22-3. The Celtics are 15-9.
And they were awesome at home last year.
Yes, they were.
Yeah. The one thing that really stuck out to me about the home record, and I was looking at this the other night after the game, we talked about the blown fourth quarter leads. They've blown 9 of them. 7 of those 9 have come at home.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so bizarre. And
so what does that speak to?
The unraveling. Like, they forget. Like, if I keep going back to that Hawks game, even the one the other night against the Rockets when they're having these miscommunications. And just looking at last year, and I think everything's going to be compared to last year, as much as they don't want it to be, as much as people might be like, oh, it's a different year. It is. But that's like, that is the benchmark. Like, that's where they want to get back to. So, of course, you're always going to go back to that and compare it to that. And last year, it's like you mentioned, they lost 4 games at home the entire year because they made it a point to come out and take care of business at home. Like that, especially after what happened in the conference finals, they really made it a point to come out and put on a show and take care of business at home. It just hasn't been the same this year. And I think you can point to all the same inconsistencies that we're seeing, but they have been a better road team for whatever reason.
You guys can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. Real quick on something Mego was saying this morning, Celtics Wednesday with the Greg Hill Show. She heard a few things on the Slam podcast, which you and Mego do together, from, and I forget the reporter's name, out of Philly, on Jeff Lurie. Apparently the expectation in Philly is they thought Lurie was ready to pass the team on to his kid and empower his kid into more of a day-to-day role. I think his name was Julian, I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Harvard grad.
Oh, nice. Interesting.
Yeah.
So there's that. There's also just the fact, and this is one and the same, he's 73 years old. He is a Boston guy, but we talk about John Henry and his portfolio and expanding with professional sports teams. I have to imagine the Eagles would always be number one in that portfolio. It's an NFL team. It's going to make him the most money. So you do have a guy whose eye is going to be on something else as an owner. I thought Mego did some interesting nitpicking there this morning. What do you think of Jeffrey Lurie as a candidate to be the next owner of the Boston Celtics?
I mean, the local ties are obviously fascinating. He bid on the Patriots in 94, but got outbid by Robert Kraft. And, I mean, he sold 8% of his stake with the Eagles recently. So, obviously, that's kind of something you raise your eyebrows at. And it makes sense just with all the local ties he has. And you look at it, and I thought the interview with Mego was interesting because, you know, the reporter mentioned how that his son, the day-to-day basis with the son, and how the son might actually have more ties to the Celtics and more control over the Celtics. So I look at the local ties as the most interesting part of it. Like, I think you can't ignore that, especially with him being born in Boston, going to school in Boston. And he was at a finals game last year. So he was there front and center for what they accomplished. So, I mean, he's had plenty of success with the Eagles. And like you said, I would assume the NFL franchise makes more money than the NBA one, especially with how consistent they've been.
Well, never mind the Celtics payroll and what that would be.
Right, So, no, it's definitely interesting. But again, like, it's still no one has explicitly said that he's – it's just a report right now. And I would assume he does speak at some point this week ahead of the Super Bowl or somewhere.
That's good. That's a good point. You think he gets asked about that leading up to the Super Bowl?
100% he'll get asked.
Oh, he'll definitely get asked about that.
It's just a matter of if he will talk. I'm assuming the owner will talk the week of or the week before the Super Bowl.
He'll talk next week, I bet, somewhere.
So,
so maybe we'll get an answer.
There's going to be some clarity there coming up soon whenever he does address it in front of a microphone. But right now, the only one that we actually know is Steve Pagliuca, and he's the only one that's come out and explicitly said it.
Yeah, I'd still take Lurie over Pags. I do wonder if Lurie, there's a few more red flags than we realize. So you guys can jump in on this. 617-779-7937. Dedicated Celtics talk every Wednesday on a Celtics Wednesday with Terp. We'll go to John in Rhode Island. Hello, John.
Hey, what's up, man? Love the show.
There's
only one person that can save us from a Chief Pete, and then you can save the Celtics. It's Uncle Jeff. He's got money. He lets his GMs do the thing. If you look at Howie Roseman, spends money, eye for talent. Brad Stevens is already in place. We need Uncle Jeff back home. Bring him home, baby.
Okay, so
good
today,
John. Good
he
stuff.
He wants Jeff Lurie. Stay out of the way and let his guys do that. That is in Uncle Jeff's. That's on his resume,
sure
that he kind of lets a guy like Howie Roseman come in, and obviously the owner is going to interject on budgets and things like that, but that's a good thing that he has
How
in his track
great
record.
Would that be, having Howie Roseman and Brad Stevens running your stuff?
A couple guys know what they're doing.
That is great.
Not a bad place to be.
Not
that
a bad way to go about
excellent
it.
Excellent place to be.
Speaking of Brad Stevens, trade deadline next week, anything you I know they're pretty limited in what they can actually do. Do you expect anything to happen?
Yeah, so the number you guys were thinking about on the buyout market is $12.8 million, so it's the mid-level exception. So anyone making more than $12.8 million, they can't go out and get.
Keith brought if they trade someone like Springer, does that change that number
it
or
does,
no?
Yeah, so they
it
can
does.
Fluid. That they right. can't aggregate salaries in a trade. So it's kind of going to be pretty close to even. So what they're really limited in what they can do. And maybe they did get a jump start on what they were looking at with Springer, because there was reports that before the season they were shopping him around. And I think that kind of tied back to Lonnie Walker. And when he came in and impressed a little bit, try to open up some flexibility there to keep him on the roster. But it's, I would assume they make a trade, but it's going to be very, very minor. And a couple of draft picks or maybe Springer. But, I mean, for all this stuff, all this chatter about them potentially trading one of the top nine, it's not happening.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It's not happening at all. I mean, I saw the Jalen Brown one.
They're not we did 4 years of that or 5 years of Jalen Brown trades. Like, I think we could put that to rest.
I led the charge on that one.
I know.
But, okay, in your face, Dakota. That's Terp. Mm-hmm. Every Wednesday, Celtics Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. Terp, good stuff. As always, you can check out his work, WEEI.com. Follow him on Twitter at Justin M. Turpin. Billy Lanny has all the latest here in trending. When we come back, let's get into Ted Johnson giving Bill, very magnanimous, giving Bill 10% of the credit for the Patriots dynasty. That's right after trending.